Good morning. Greetings from Emmanuel Baptist Church, and in particular from Pastor Ken Lester. He sends his warm love to the church. We always pray for you guys. Most Tuesday nights at prayer meeting, we pray for Central Mountains Baptist Church. I read a story about a captain of a boat in the war, is heading in the water, and there's so much fog and darkness. But he sees a light in the distance. He realizes if someone doesn't move, there's going to be a smash. So he signals to the light in front. He says, alter your course 10 degrees south. The reply comes back, no. Alter your course 10 degrees north. The commander starts to feel anger building up inside of him. Again, he signals the message, alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a commander. Reply comes back, no. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a seaman third class. He gets more angry and more furious. So again, he signals the message, alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship and I will destroy you. Reply comes back once again, no. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse. The issue of authority. Who wanted to have the final say? Who wanted to have the power in making the last decision? We live in a world today where people strive to have authority. They strive to have power. And Alec, who I read last week, was talking about how we are bringing youngsters who have no respect for authority. They're called the spoilt generation. The article reads this way, a growing lack of adult authority has bred a spoiled generation of children who believe grown-ups must earn their respect. The attempt to empower children and a lack of discipline in the classroom has also fostered rising levels of violence at home, at school, and in the street. The article goes on and says, so much chaos in the world where people lack to respect authority, whether it's parents, whether it's teachers, or even the police. You can't tell me what I must do and what I must not do. And we can sit back and say, well, those people should listen to authority. They must understand authority. But we as Christians, are we any different? Well, who or what is the main authority in our lives? We who place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. We can cry out, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Believe on the Lord, Kyrios, the master, the authority of your life. Can we honestly say this morning, look at our hearts, is Jesus our authority? Or is someone else our authority? Or something else our authority? I've told the message this morning, the issue of authority. As Christians, who is your authority? Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you and praise you for being a sovereign, almighty, holy God. We thank you for your word, the truth, the word without error, the word that reveals who you are, the word that reveals authority. Who must be our authority in this world, in our lives, in our everyday living. Lord, for our praise this morning, look at your word that you'll challenge our hearts to think deeply, to ask the hard question, who is or what is the true authority in our lives? Help us understand your word this morning and lead this building as changed people, desiring to be more like Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Please turn to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 11, beginning verse 27. Joshua read from the corresponding Gospel Matthew, the same event. Mark chapter 11, verse 27. Verse 27. Then they came again to Jerusalem. And as he, referring to Jesus, was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him. And they said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one question. Then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, why then do you not believe him? But if we say from men," they feared the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed. So they answered and said to Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." This morning, I've got three areas of this passage that looks or points to the authority of Christ, the authority of Jesus. Firstly, the run-in or the confrontation. Secondly, the response. And thirdly, the result. Firstly, the run-in or the confrontation here. All through the Gospels, we see the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests, all trying to find some way to discredit Jesus. They had a real hatred, a real desire to have Jesus taken away, to be sought out, to be destroyed. They went from place to place trying to find some kind of fault in Jesus. We come to the time here, it's known as the Passion Week. What's the setting here? In verse 27, we read the words, "And they came again to Jerusalem," Jesus and the disciples. "And as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him." Chapter 11 of Mark is a wonderful introduction as it explains the Passion Week. The first 11 verses, the triumphal entry, Jesus comes into Jerusalem on a donkey. The crowds along the sidewalk are cheering out, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He has arrived to save us," thinking he will save them from the Roman rule. He goes from Bethany back to Jerusalem again, sees a fig tree, doesn't bear fruit. He curses the fig tree, and the fig tree dies, representing Israel as God's people not producing fruit. Enters the temple, he sees money changers and all these things happening in the temple, and he drives them out and says, "Is it not written that my house should be called the house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it the den of thieves?" He leaves Jerusalem and goes back to Bethany again to stay at probably the house of Mary, Martha and Lazarus. Which brings us to the portion of scripture this morning. They come again to Jerusalem. And as he's walking through the temple, as he's teaching in the temple, the religious leaders come along. The chief priests and the Sadducees and the scribes and the elders all come to Jesus. All groups do not agree with one another, except for one point. Let's get rid of Jesus. How dare he be here teaching the crowds? How do I know he's teaching? Well, Luke chapter 20, verse 1 and 2 says, "Now it happened on one of those days, as Jesus taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes, together with the elders, confronted him and said to him, 'Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things?'" Imagine listening to Jesus teach. It would have been amazing to hear him teach. Teach the gospel. The crowds are gathering to hear him teach. Taught about the kingdom of God. Some say maybe the wickedness of sin. Talked about it's not what you do, it's what you believe. It's not based on following the traditions and laws. The promise of forgiveness. Salvation for eternal life. One commentator says, maybe he spoke about the importance of the word of God. Repentance, faith, grace and mercy. Be taught in the temple. And these leaders come in thinking, this guy Jesus has the crowd. He's teaching things from God's word. How dare he do that? We're the ones who have authority in this place. We're the ones in charge of this place. How dare he come in and exert his authority or perceived authority in their thinking? But the crowds love his teaching. They're listening to what Jesus had to say. They come to confront Jesus. We see the question in verse 28. They said to him, by what authority, what right, what power are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things? It's a question to attack him. It's not a question of curiosity or a question of thinking we may understand more about Jesus. It was to attack him, to see what he would say. Luke 19:47, it says, and he was teaching daily in the temple. For the chief priests, the scribes and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him, unable to do anything, for the people were very attentive to hear him. Imagine the Pharisees saying, Jesus, you say this, you claim that. Who gives you the authority to do that? Who gives you the right to come into the temple? Who gives you the right to claim who you say you are? Who gives you the right to do this? Where does your authority come from? They want Jesus to respond. If he says, Jesus says, I come with authority from God, the Pharisees will say, prove it to us. Prove to the people you're from God. If you can't, we can prove you're a liar. If he says his authority is from men, they discredit everything he's taught and claimed. This is the question they're thinking that could stump Jesus. Where it says, but what if are you doing these things? These things refers to the cleansing of the temple. Refers to Jesus coming in and taking the money changers and all those out of the temple. Who gives the authority to do that, Jesus? Tell us your source of your authority. What are your credentials? What are you doing here in this place? They could have said things like, he's not qualified to be here. He hasn't earned the right to be here. We're the ones who have the power. We're the ones who have the fame. We're the ones who have the authority. This one, the son of a carpenter, what does he know about God? Listen to your so-called teacher. He has no right to teach here. He has no right to be here. Who gives him the authority? An opportunity they saw to win the people back. Now, it amazes me today, it's a world, the way people view the authority of Jesus. Islam state that Jesus is just a prophet and messenger of God, not your authority. In Buddhism, they say the sayings of Jesus and the saying of Buddha are very similar in regards to behavior, discipleship, compassion, materialism, and the inner life, but not authority. The Mormons believe that Jesus is not the eternal word of God or God himself. He was a created spirit given a physical body, just like humans, but not your authority. Ellen Johnson, the president of American Atheists, says this, there's not one shred of secular evidence there ever was a Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a combination of all different gods, from the same origins, the same death, as the mythological Jesus Christ. Another writer says this, you may find it surprising there are many people in the world today who actually think that Jesus is nothing more than a fantasy figure. The various secret societies created 2,000 years ago, his name belongs to the same fictional writings as Peter Pan, Hercules and Snow White. People do not want to ask the question, what gives Jesus authority? And Christians, we need to ask the same question. Does Jesus have a right in my life to be my authority? What gives him that right? And we know in our heads, he has the authority in our lives. We know from scriptures, he's our Lord and our Savior. He's our Master. He's our King of Kings. But everyday living, and I'm tempted to do the wrong thing. I feel anger rising up inside of me. Or someone cuts me off as we're driving. Or things don't go my way. And I want to scream and blame God or do things that discredit God. I ask myself the deep question, who is my authority? Is it me, my selfishness, what I want? Or is Christ my authority? Who is our authority? What gives him the right to be the authority in my life? He has every right to be the authority in my life, of course. And the religious leaders here are trying to find some way for the crowd to not believe that he has any authority in his temple. We see the response from Jesus in verse 29 to 32. 29 we read, but Jesus answered and said to them, I'll ask you one question, then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me. This was the opportunity, if you think about it, for Jesus to stop all the questions. He could have declared, my Father, speak so people will hear, as you did the baptism of John, baptism of Jesus. Declare, I'm your beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. He could have called that down. He could call the angels come down to worship him and declare he's God, the Son of God. He does not. In his humility, he asks that one question to the religious leaders. The baptism of John, was it from God? Was it from man? Usual practice for a rabbi, when they ask the question, they would probably respond with a question. The one asking the question, you think more deeply about the question they asked. And on the surface, it seems like a very easy question. The baptism of John, is it from men or is it from God? But this question would stump the leaders. John the Baptist, chosen by God, a messenger of God. John the Baptist, the one who declared that the Messiah was coming, the one who preached repentance, the one who Jesus said is the greatest. In Luke 7 we read, I say to you, among those born of women, there's not one greater prophet than John the Baptist. Many says, where does that come from? I mean, the religious leaders knew John the Baptist very well. They asked him questions in John chapter 1 verse 19. It says, the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask John the Baptist, who are you? He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, I am not the Christ. They asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you a prophet? He answered, no. Said to him, who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. He had followers, John the Baptist. He preached about repentance, about the Messiah. He had a very important ministry. And Jesus is saying, you leaders have seen the ministry of John. The baptism of John refers to his whole ministry. You've seen what he said. You've seen what he taught. You've seen what he did. What's your answer? Does it come from God? Or does it come from men? You see the confusion here in verse 31, 32. But they reasoned or dialogued or debated among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But we say from men, they feared the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed. They talked, they had a dialogue amongst each other. What do we say to this question? Jesus answers us. We're the ones supposed to be questioning his authority. We're the ones trying to trick him. But how do we answer this question? Where does John the Baptist's ministry come from? Because they did not like John the Baptist either, or his leaders. John the Baptist called him the brood of vipers. He says to them, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He says, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. John the Baptist was severe to the religious leaders. They say he's from God though. They say John the Baptist is from God. And it puts them in a situation, doesn't it? We don't believe John the Baptist's message. We don't believe that this one Jesus is the Messiah. We don't believe what he taught and what he said about us. We can't say it's from God. But we say it's from men. Then the crowds around them will be angry. In John, Luke chapter 20 says this, but if we say from men, all the people will stone us. They persuade that John was a prophet. People get stones and throw stones at the religious leaders to kill them. We say it's from men. Say from God, we're giving proof to Jesus and his authority, what John the Baptist taught. We say from men, we'll be stoned from the crowds and hated by the crowds. We cannot win in this situation here. One commentator puts it this way. To reject God's true prophet was equal to the same rejecting and blaspheming God himself. They wanted to give an answer. They could not give an answer to that question. It's interesting, when it comes to the issue of authority of Jesus, it brought a real dilemma to the religious leaders. And it's no different to us here as believers. Explain what I mean. On a sporting field, whether it's rugby league or AFL, people think they have the authority. It's not the players, they have no authority on the field. It's not the coach. He thinks he has authority over the field, he has over his players, yes. But the sole person or people who have authority in a game of sport is the referee or umpire. They declare the power and the right to make decisions on that field. And no one else on that field has a right, except the referee or umpire. You've got the crowds coming in. When your team is doing well or things go your way, referee's a good person. Referee's a very good referee or umpire. But you don't get the 50-50 calls. Or things seem to go the wrong way, people turn and say, all bad things to referees. They're the worst people on the earth. They have no authority in the fans' opinions. You're destroying my team. You're destroying the game. How dare you say those things? You're a bad referee. Same with us. When things go well in our lives, we can say, yes, Jesus is my authority. Yes, I obey Jesus. There's no confusion. But things start to go bad. When I have health issues, or financial issues, or work's not the way I think work should go, or marriage is struggling, whatever it might be, then we question Jesus. they confuse leaders here. Is my authority from God or is it from man? Do I do what man told me to do? Do what I want to do? Do I do what I think is right? Do I try to deal problems my way? Who's my authority? We get confused like the religious leaders here. We can't get to the point where we can truly say, no matter what happens in my life, He is my authority. Or when I get up early in the morning to do my devotions, I say, I don't want to do them this morning. I'm tired. I had a hard week. And I just close my Bible and say, not today, God. Who's my authority? It's not Christ. It's not God. It's my selfishness. I want to do what I want to do. Or we watch something on TV that you know is very inappropriate. You know you should turn that TV channel off or change the channel, wherever it might be. But you say, oh, just 5 minutes more. Let me just see what happens. Let's see what happens at the end. And you watch this inappropriate stuff. Who's my authority? Not Christ. It's my sexual desires, my lusts, wanting to watch what's on TV. Because I want to see it, even though it's wrong. I can't get to the point to say, Jesus is my authority. He wants me not to watch those things. I'm confused. Who's my authority? Is it Jesus or is it me? He's put this grey area in our lives. We get caught up in all different kind of affairs in this life and business of life that fills our minds and our hearts and our emotions, our desires, and everything coming from every direction. And unfortunately, the one that seems to push in the background is Christ. He's the one I turn to at the end. We're confused. Jesus asked the question this morning, is your authority from God or is your authority from men? How you live your lives? What do you say to you? What do you say to me? As a husband, as a father to my children, they see me submit to Christ's authority, or they see me get angry, or they see me do wrong things, or see me blame everybody else but myself. Who is our authority? Our heads will shout, of course He is. But in reality, is He? Is He? Thirdly, we see the result here. What happens here? It's quite an amazing result. Verse 33. They answered and said to Him, to Jesus, we do not know. What a response, religious leaders. The experts in the law, the experts in God's word of the Old Testament, the rulers of the temple, the ones who had authority in the temple, cannot answer the question. We don't know, Jesus. We don't know how to answer that. What a bitter pill for them to swallow. The ego will be shrunk down. The crowd wanting to hear the answer from them. What are they going to say? Come on, religious leaders, give us the answer. We listen to you for year after year after year. We come here for Passovers and all this thing. Give us the answer, leaders. We don't know. We don't know. We as leaders, whether it's in the workplace, in our families, amongst friends, in churches, in ministries, people ask us questions. People ask us, what do they believe? Who to follow? Do we ever get the answer we don't know? We must be leaders that point people to Christ. What does Jesus say about the situation? I was at a couple's house the other day who were going for a hard time and they want to sue the workplace. So, James, what should we do? I said, what does Jesus want you to do? What does Christ want you to do in the situation? The response was this. I knew you would say that. Well, you want to do that, they said. We want to do what we want to do. I said, that's not life. Life is to follow the authority of Christ in your life. People don't follow Christ. They get to a situation and say, we don't know what to do next. What do? We don't know what to do. Because Christ is out of the situation in the picture. Look at the answer from Jesus, though. in verse 33. Jesus answered and said to them, "Now will I tell you by what authority I do these things." He ends the discussion. He ends the confrontation like that. They've heard about his teaching. They've heard about his miracles. There was walking on water, calming the storm, feeding the 5,000, feeding the 4,000, healing blind men, bringing Lazarus out of death to life. They refused to believe who he was, his authority, his claims. And Jesus says, "I give you the evidence, give you the proof, and you guys just don't know. So I will not tell you what authority I come from." He tells them, "Neither will I tell you." And the same religious leaders are the ones who, the next few chapters along, a couple of days after this happens, send him to the cross to die, to be crucified. He gave his authority, Jesus, to his disciples, Matthew 28. "All authority given me on heaven and earth. Just go and preach the gospel, share the gospel to every creature." Disciples went out, part of course of Judas Iscariot, went out and they changed the world, preaching the authority of Christ, preaching the gospel, preaching the kingdom of God. And these men refused to give in to the authority of other men. They were arrested. And Peter and John said, "We don't obey men, we obey God." They faced hard times. They faced death. Many died for Christ, their authority. The Apostle Paul, through the New Testament, once he becomes a Christian, he goes through so much, appealing to Festus and Felix and Caesar. And each time he says, "I believe in Christ, the authority of Christ," resulted in his death. Christ given us as Christians this morning authority. Not to rule over him, but to submit under his authority, to share his authority to others in a loving way. To share the gospel, to share the truth. As ambassadors of Christ, citizens of heaven, we have the right, responsibility, the honor, the privilege to share Christ to our work colleagues, our family, our friends, to strangers. Say, "My life is about Christ. He's my authority. He's my sole master in life." If you're here this morning and never accepted Christ as your Savior, and try to work out how does life work? What's life so chaotic and so painful at times? Who's your master? Who's your authority? Surrender and give your rights to Christ. Saying, "I don't know what it's all about, but I know I can't get to heaven by what I do. But I believe that Christ came as one who remained perfect, died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again victoriously." And the Bible says, if I believe that by faith, trusting that's exactly what happened, I have a place reserved in glory. Relationship with God is restored. Forgiveness of sin from past, present, and future is guaranteed. I stand as one now justified in the sight of God. One adopted as one of God's children. Heirs and joint heirs of Christ. But it comes down to this. If you believe that's true, then let him rule your life. Let him guide your life. Our Christ reigns. Our God reigns. And he forever will reign. I love the verses in Philippians to finish off with this morning. Philippians chapter 2. One of the verses about Christ. The verse that stands out. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. "Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. The name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of those in heaven, those on earth, and those on the earth. And every tongue should or will confess that Jesus Christ is Master, is Lord, is authority to the glory of God the Father." Is he your authority? Let's pray. Loving Father, again, thank you again for your word this morning. Thank you for that true event that happened in the Gospel of Mark, where the religious leaders wanted to somehow find a fault in Christ, discredit him from his teaching and those listening to his teaching. Asking the question, but what authority do you do these things? How dare you speak in our temple? But Christ, who is God, who is the Son of God, has all authority on heaven and on earth. May we as Christians who have given our lives to Christ truly believe that he is our authority. Our decisions, our life, our motives, our desires, our dreams are based on what Christ wants us to do. He is the one we must follow, not what the world says, not what sometimes our hearts say to do, not what you read out there is about yourself, it's I, this, I, that. And one day, everyone will confess that Jesus is Lord for the glory of God the Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.